I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. A very special welcome to those who come from overseas. So good to have you in our midst. And those who have traveled, perhaps have traveled and have returned, a very special welcome back to you. May the Lord be with all of us so that the worship service this morning may be a great blessing to every one of us. So that at the conclusion of this worship service, all of us may say that it was really good to have been in the house of the Lord. Now, this morning, my subject is the foolishness of professing without fruits. Yes, professing to be a believer and not producing fruits is foolishness. In fact, it is not only foolishness, but it is dangerous foolishness. Now, I read to you the passage that we read earlier on, again, Luke chapter 6, 43 to 49. Okay, if you turn to that passage with me, Luke 6, 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. From thorns you do not gather figs, you gather figs only from fig trees. And off a bramble bush, you don't gather grapes. You gather grapes from grapevines. A good man out of the treasure, good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And the Lord says, And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In other words, I am not your Lord. Yes, if you do not do the things which I say, I am not your Lord. Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The Lord bless us in the reading of his most holy and precious word. Now, for us to be saved, we must have the right view in regards to the way of salvation, which is, of course, salvation is by grace through faith. That's the right view. Yes, the Word of God clearly teaches us this truth in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if we think that we can contribute anything to our salvation through our works, yes, even the minutest contribution, my dear friends, if we think that we could do that, we perish. Yes, because by our works, we cannot be saved. Even by the, if you think that you contribute the minutest amount, you will still perish. You will perish. Now, salvation is by grace through faith. But we have to be very, very careful that our profession of faith is not one that is fruitless, not one that is empty. Because we say salvation is by grace through faith, and sometimes we can be very, very careless about what we believe, and we can be very, very presumptuous. Now, my dear friends, if our profession of faith is one that is empty, one that is fruitless, that faith is surely not real faith. Now, the great apostle Paul didn't stop at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. He goes on to say this in verse 10. All right, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you will see that he says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let me read this for you, but keep your finger at Luke chapter 6. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now those of us who profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are supposed to be born again, supposed to be born again. We have been recreated in the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were. And what were we recreated for? My dear friends, we were recreated to perform good works. So the word of God here says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Yes. And here in this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ says, in Luke chapter 6, verse 43 to verse 45, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. My dear friends, we are known by our fruits. Now in this passage, the Lord says in verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And the fruits here refer to doing the things which the Lord Jesus Christ said. Yes, why do ye not the things which I say? So the fruits here really refer to doing the things which the Lord Jesus Christ said. Now, if we don't bear these fruits and profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith is empty. We must do the things which the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. If we don't do them, our faith is empty. Our faith is dead. We are unbelievers, my dear friends, if we do not the things which he said we must be doing. And then look at those who deserve such a rebuke from the Lord, who says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Who are these people, my dear friends, whose faith is dead? First, these are those who are nominal Christians. Yes, nominal Christians. They are churchgoers. Yes, churchgoers. And they are those who were born in Christian homes, and they were baptized as infants. Often I hear people say, I was born in a Christian family. But the question is, are they really believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? They might be using the Christian vocabulary. They name the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. And then when there is a form for them to fill out, ask them to show whether that the kind of a religion that they are embracing, invariably they'll fill out this term, Christian. I'm a Christian. Now the question is, do they really believe in the Lord? Are they truly born again? They might say, yes, I'm born again. But the Lord says, by the fruits ye shall know them. Where are the fruits of repentance? Friends, let us understand that if they are truly born again, they must show fruits of repentance. And let us understand that repentance is not just saying sorry for the wrong that we did. Yes, and then going back to the wrong again. That is not repentance. There's a little poem that goes something like this. 'Tis not enough. 'Tis not enough to say, I'm sorry and repent, and then go on from day to day, just as I always went. My dear friends, if you have truly repented, you must turn away from your sins. You must not go back to them. Repentance is to leave the sins we loved before and show that we in earnest grieve by doing them no more. Yes, we would not want to do them. It grieves us to do them, so we do not want to do those things again. Now, at the church prayer meeting, we pray for people who profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we pray for them? Is it because we want to judge them and think that they are not worthy to be called Christians or something like that? No. We pray for them because we are very, very concerned about their salvation. Yes, we pray for them earnestly that they will show forth fruits of repentance and fruits of righteousness. We do that because we are very, very concerned for them. And we would want to continue to pray for them so that they will be the witnesses that the Lord wants them to be. A soul winner told of his experience of bringing a young man to the Lord. He opened the word to this young man and went from one scripture passage to another scripture passage. Yet, this young man was not willing to come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then something was holding him back. And then because it was getting late, this soul winner then said to this young man, you go home and read through those passages that we read today and think about them. And then perhaps we can meet another time. Then came the next morning. This young man's face was filled with jubilation. He met the soul winner and he exclaimed, it is all right. At 2 o'clock this morning, I surrendered myself to the Lord. And then this soul winner asked him, but what kept you back? He replied, I sell books, all kinds of books. Yes, good books, bad books, indifferent books. And many of the books that I sell, if people were to read them and embrace the ideas in those books, yes, they are going to hell. And so it was a great battle for me, because the decision that I made was going to cost me my livelihood. But the scriptures that I read, that I marked in red, told me what I must do. And so this morning at 2 a.m., I gave myself to the Lord. I surrendered myself to Him. I decided that I must repent from this evil, even though surrendering myself to the Lord is going to affect my livelihood adversely. Friends, that is repentance, right? Even it's going to cost us, it is repentance. It is turning from the evil that we did before and not going back to that evil. Now, if you are a nominal Christian, a churchgoer, you must necessarily ask yourself this question, have I truly repented? What sins in my life have I not repented from? It is not repentance, my dear friends, if I confess my sins and then I still go back to my sins. Now, the Lord in this chapter talks about the need to have a forgiving spirit. Now, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must repent from the sin of having an unforgiving spirit. The Lord says in Luke chapter 6, verse 28, in the same chapter, but verse 28, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Yes, have a forgiving spirit. Now, before we came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we used to bear grudges and were not forgiving. Now, if we truly have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we must necessarily repent from this sin and must have a forgiving spirit. Now, haven't we heard of people going to church for years who are not on talking terms? How can that be, my dear friends? True believers, and then they are not on talking terms. So when one party sits on one side of the church, the other party will sit on the other side of the church. And then when they leave the church, one party will leave through one exit of the church. And when the other party sees that that party leaves the church to that exit, he will make sure he goes out to another exit. But how can that be, my dear friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Watch it, my dear friends. If we have an unforgiving spirit, you could just very well be a nominal Christian, a churchgoer, but not a truly born-again Christian, if you have an unforgiving spirit. Now, I remember the case of a pastor of a certain church and an elder of another church. By the way, this is a true story, all right? An elder of another church. For some reason, they had a misunderstanding and they were not on talking terms, right? And or at least they didn't relate with one another. Then one day, this elder became seriously ill. He was actually dying. Well, now, when this pastor heard that this elder was dying, he very, very quickly went to visit this elder. Was this elder glad to see him? Of course, he was very glad to see him. With tears flowing down his cheeks, yes, he was reconciled to this pastor, and this pastor was reconciled to him. And he said to this pastor, my brother, when I pass away, when I go home to be with the Lord, please minister at my funeral. Yes, they truly forgave one another. And that must be the case. If they are true believers, they must have this forgiving spirit. But actually, I would like to pose them this question. Theoretically, if I could pose them this question, I'll pose them this question. What took you so long to forgive one another? Yes, should you not be forgiving one another right away when you have this problem with one another? Yes, and by your unforgiving spirit, do you not think that you will be setting very bad example for people in the church? You are supposed to be leaders in the church. my dear friends, we must have a forgiving spirit if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we ask, what is meant by fruits of repentance? Well, having a forgiving spirit is showing forth fruits of repentance. Now, it is not recorded in this passage, in Luke 6, but in the Sermon on the Mount in Luke, in Matthew 6, the Lord gives this command. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Now, a good test of whether we are nominal Christians or not is, what kind of priority do we assign to seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? What kind of priority do we give to the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Now, for nominal Christians, the kingdom of God and his righteousness are not their first priority. If they are not their last priority, I guess this kingdom of God and his righteousness cannot be far up in the ladder of priority. They will possibly be occupying the lower rungs of the ladder. But friends, if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and not just a nominal Christian, you will definitely have your priority right. Yes, you'll be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And many questions pertaining to Christian living will be very clearly answered. Yes, would you not know how to observe the Lord's Day? My dear friends, you would know. You would know how to observe the Lord's Day if you are not a nominal Christian. Would you not know that you must be punctual at the worship service? You would know. You would know that you are not supposed to cause the King of Kings to wait for you. Yes, you should be waiting for him, waiting to worship him, and not for him to wait for you to worship him. Then, would you not know how to attire when you come to church? You would know. Yes, the Word of God tells you how to attire. You know how to attire when you come to church. Or would you not know how to attire when you are outside of the church? You would know also. And would you not know whether your dressing is overexposing or not? You would know. And would you argue, if you are not dressing correctly, that it is the inside that matters and not the outside? Many people like to put forth this argument. It is the inside that counts and not the outside. My dear friends, if you are right with God, if your priority is right, you will not put forth that argument. Would you not know what music you ought to be appreciating? My dear friends, you would know. Would you not know whether you should be tithing or not? You would know. Would you not know how you should be spending and investing your money? You would know. Would you not know what relationships you should be getting yourself involved in or not involved in? You would know. Would you not know what sense of values you ought to be having? Yes, you will know. And you will know for sure that the things that count for eternity are the things that really matter in life. You would know. And not only would you know the right things, there's only one part of it, but you will also do the right things. You know and you would do. Yes, and you know why you would know and you would do the right things? Because you are heavenly minded. Yes, the Word of God says, if you then be reasoned with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You will be definitely setting your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. If you are not a nominal Christian, but a truly born-again Christian, your priority definitely will be right. Now, who else deserves such a rebuke from the Lord who says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Yes, who are those who deserve this rebuke from the Lord? It is the formal, self-righteous persons who deserve it. Formal, self-righteous persons. Now, the Pharisees during the days of our Lord Jesus Christ would fall into this category, the category of people who were very self-righteous and who were very, very formal. It seems like in many churches, not all churches, but many churches, and I'm not talking about liberal, unbelieving churches, but I'm talking about so-called Bible-believing churches. Yes, the spread of people is always about the same. They could have different names, different faces, but the spread is always about the same. behavior always about the same. You will have one category of people who are nominal Christians, they are just churchgoers, right? And then you will have another category of people who will be very serious, people who want to follow the Lord, people who want to be faithful, people who want to be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there will be another category of people who fall into the other extreme. They are formal and self-righteous. These are the ones who think that they are always right and other people are wrong. They might use the correct biblical language concerning salvation and righteousness. You talk to them, they sound like true believers, all right. And mentally, they might subscribe to the belief that salvation is by grace through faith. But then in their actions and in their language, they always sound so self-righteous. Now, it is true, salvation is of the Lord. Yes, and we cannot judge whether these people who are self-righteous are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ or not. But of course, we should not be judging them, because if we are judging them, we ourselves can be very, very self-righteous. But friends, on the day of judgment, there is no way of escaping. These people who are self-righteous will be shown to be self-righteous. And the Lord is going to ask them this question: and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why did you not come before me humbling yourselves under my mighty hand? Why did you not come before me with a broken and a contrite heart? The Lord will be asking these people such questions. Let the self-righteous and formal ones be warned. The Lord says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Should we be judging? Of course we should be judging, right? Every day we pass judgment, okay? All kinds of judgment every day. For example, you go to a shop to buy things, you make a judgment in regards to whether the thing is suitable or not suitable. Or even when you are parking your car, you will make a judgment whether or not that car lot is suitable for you to park your car in. Or when you are picking a course to study, you make a choice, you make a judgment. And then when you choose a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you also make a judgment. For sure, you make many judgments. But friends, what is really wrong is being judgmental. Nothing wrong to judge, but what is wrong is being judgmental. Is it being very, very picky, being very, very fault-finding? Now, there is plenty of wrong if we are fault-finding, always searching for faults in other people. My dear friends, that is wrong. That is being judgmental. And that is exactly what the Pharisees were good at during the days when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was on this earth. They were very judgmental of the actions and behavior of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his disciples. They were always finding fault with the Lord and those who followed him. Now, if we are very prone to being fault-finding, listen to this carefully. If we are very, very prone to being fault-finding, it may be that we are still living in our sin. You know why? We think that we are practically faultless. That is why we are so judgmental. Faultless. That is why so judgmental. My dear friends, if we are judgmental, it could also mean that we are being very hypocritical. We see only the mote, the little dust in the eyes of other people's eyes. But we do not see the big beam that is in our own eyes. We see only the little dots, the little dirt, but we don't see the big planks that are in our eyes. My dear friends, if we don't repent from these sins, the sins of being self-righteous, the sin of being judgmental, the sins of being hypocritical, we might only be religious. Yes, we can look very, very religious, but friends, we are not born again Christians. In truth, we are no better than nominal Christians. We are just religious hypocrites. We don't practice what we believe. We are hearers, but not doers of the work, of the word. Let the self-righteous beware. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, I read for you, Matthew 5, 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. By the fruit ye shall know the tree. Now, if a person produces fruits that show that he is very unforgiving, very fault-finding, very judgmental, very self-righteous, can his righteousness exceed that of the Pharisee? Of course not. And if his righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisee, the Lord's words are these: he shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So let us all be one. If we are very self-righteous, fault-finding, or always picking faults, thinking that we are right, other people are wrong all the time. Now, another kind of people that deserves this rebuke from the Lord, who says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say," are those who are false professors, false preachers. Yes, false professors or false preachers. Now, in the Sermon of the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ said this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 20 to 23. All right, Matthew 7, 20 to 23, he says, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them," the Lord says this, listen carefully, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Yes, these people are false professors. They profess to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, what is meant by doing the will of the Heavenly Father? Doing the will of the Heavenly Father simply means to obey him. And to obey him simply means to obey his laws. Friends, how can we say that we are obeying his laws if we are not producing fruits of righteousness and fruits of repentance? How can preachers, so-called preachers of the gospel, and so-called miracle performers be doing his will if they are teaching untruth and not the truth? They corrupt scripture. They do not preach repentance. They do not preach about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they ever touch on this subject, the subjects of repentance and the shedding of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mention of these topics would just be very, very superficial. They do not place emphasis on them. Their emphasis is on health and wealth. Yes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be healthy and wealthy. Their emphasis will be on grace, just grace and grace, nothing about repentance. If they talk about repentance, they possibly will say this, all right, salvation is by grace. You have only to repent once. The moment you come to believe in Jesus, just repent once. And after that, what happens? You sin, you don't repent. You see, that's the kind of teaching. Now, that teaching is definitely not correct. How can a person be said to be doing the will of God if he is not doing what the Lord Jesus Christ says he ought to be doing? So we have spoken about three kinds of professors of faith: the nominal churchgoer, who believes that he's a believer, but in actual fact, he might not be; the self-righteous, the formal self-righteous people who are very condemning, very fault-finding. And then we talk about another kind of professors, the signs and wonders preachers who do not do the will of God. These are professors of the faith who are fruitless. They don't bear fruits, the kind of fruits that the Lord Jesus Christ talks about. Now, are not these fruitless professors of the faith foolish? Are they not foolish? Yes, they are empty professors. Are they not foolish? They surely are. Yes. Now, friends, we cannot pull wool over the eyes of the Lord. Does not the Lord know that we are Christians in name only and are really not what we profess to be? Does he not know? Of course he knows. Does he not know that we are nominal Christians and not really born-again Christians? Does he not know? Of course he knows. Does he not know that we are really self-righteous when we appear to be truly righteous? Only appears to be truly righteous, but in actual fact, very self-righteous. Yes. And does he not know that we are false professors of the faith? Does he not know? He knows. our Lord knows what is in the heart of man. You know, today people are so good, and technology is so good that people can actually fabricate diamond, and the artificial diamond can look like the real thing. And there are those people who have been cheated into buying these artificial diamonds and think that they have got the real thing. But under the scrutiny of an expert, artificial diamonds will be seen for what they really are, nothing but artificial diamonds. Friends, I can't see your heart. You can't see my heart. When you profess to be a believer in a community like ours, chances are people are going to accept you for at face value. They believe that you, what you say you are, you are. Yes, they take you at face value. Yes, and you can behave like a real believer. But friends, understand this truth. You cannot escape the scrutiny of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, he doesn't need to scrutinize. He knows it already. Whether you are a true believer or not, whether you are a fake believer or not, he knows. Yes. Now, did not Judas behave like a real believer? Yes, no. Of course he behaved like a real believer. He went out to preach with the Lord Jesus Christ. He went out with his fellow disciples. He preached the gospel, and he performed signs and wonders, just like the other disciples did. But he was a traitor. Did the Lord know that he was a traitor? Of course the Lord knew. Yes. And now, my dear friends, if we are false professors and not true believers of the Lord, the Lord surely knows, because he is all-knowing. The Word of God says in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All things are naked and open to him. We cannot hide anything from him. He knows everything about us. On the day of judgment, everything will be as clear as daylight. And how sad and how dangerous it is to think that we are real believers when in actual fact we are false believers. Yes, we are being fools, and we are dangerously foolish, because on the day when we stand before the Lord, if we are false professors, the Lord is going to say this to us: why calling me Lord, Lord, when you did not do those things that I asked you to do? Depart from me. Yes, I never knew you. Depart from me. I was never your Lord. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now look at the true believer. Luke chapter 6. Look at the true believer. Luke chapter 6. And look at verse 47 and 48. Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. 47. Now, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. 48. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Yes, this man, a wise man in the Gospel of Matthew, he is described as a wise man. This man is well grounded in the faith. He is a wise man because he built his faith upon the rock. Yes, and he knows what trials are for. Yes, and he is well grounded in the faith, and so he knows what trials are for, and so he goes through his trials with faith in the one true living God. And James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. He knows that the Lord is trying his faith, and that when he has gone through the trials, the Lord is going to give him the crown that he will give to all those who love him. So he knows exactly what the trial of his faith is for. Now, look at the fruitless professors. All right, let's look at the fruitless professors. Look at 49. 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The profession of this man is false. It is fruitless. Trials and tribulations that come his way would expose him for what he really is, a fruitless professor. Yes, when the trials and tribulations come, he shows his true colors. He's really a fruitless professor. Now, when I think of a fruitless professor, or when I think of fruitless profession, I can't help but think of this man called Demas. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul talks about this man called Demas. Now, Demas was for a long time a fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul. We read in 2 Timothy 4:10, "For Demas," Paul says, "for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Now, remember, Paul was awaiting his persecution at that time. Yes, and he said this of Demas, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica." Now, yes, it is true, this man, in accordance to what Paul says, was a man who loved this present world. But could it also not be that he was one who could not bear the trials and temptations, especially of the kind that he saw the great Apostle Paul was going through? Yes, you look at the trials and tribulations of Paul, he says, "I cannot bear this. I cannot go through all this." Then he forsook Paul, left Paul, and left Paul for the world. Was he not a foolish man? My dear friends, maybe in the eyes of the world not foolish, but in the sight of God, he surely was a foolish man. He was perhaps an empty professor. He perhaps was not a believer right from the very start. That's why he behaved the way he did. Now, if he was not a believer, yes, when he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of judgment, when Demas comes before the Lord is going to say to him, "Yes, Demas, it is true. You did all those things like fellow servants of the Apostle Paul did. You did all those things, but you did not do my will. Yes, depart from me. I never knew you. Yes, depart from me, you that work iniquity." The Lord might be saying that to Demas. My dear friends, we are known by our fruits. In this passage, the Lord says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Understand this truth. The Lord is not our Lord if we are not doing the things that he says we must be doing. We may think that he's our Lord. We address him as Lord Jesus Christ. But he may not be our Lord. He says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Yes, so questions that we should address must be this: what fruits have we borne for the Lord Jesus Christ? And today, what fruits are we bearing for him? Have we been bearing fruits of repentance? Have we been bearing fruits of righteousness? How forgiving have we been? How merciful have we been? How non-judgmental have we been? How self-righteous have we been? How much are we seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness? How much are we seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And it is really foolish to be false professors. We can bluff our fellow men. We can bluff our fellow worshippers in the church, but we cannot fool God. Everything is as clear as daylight to him. It is foolish, my dear friends, to be false professors, for when trials come our way, we will be found out for what we really are. Foolish professors who build their faith not on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and what we build, yes, would easily be swept away by the trials and temptations and tribulations that come our way. And on the day of reckoning, the Lord is going to say to us, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." So, my dear friends, let us be very, very sure by the grace of God that we are really true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, true professors of the faith, who will receive the crown of life which the Lord has prepared for us, even to those who love him.
Amen. Let us pray.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that all of us may take heed to your word and check on ourselves to see whether we are true believers in you. Help us, O Lord God, so that we may not be false professors. Help us so that we may not be fruitless professors, but really be the fruit bearers that you want us to be. Help us, O Lord God, to show forth true faith in you by the fruits of righteousness and the fruits of repentance that you want us to produce. Lord, help us to be the witnesses that you want us to be. May you fill us with your mighty Holy Spirit, and we pray that if we have not truly repented from our sins, today we may search ourselves and repent from all the sins and not go back to them. Cleanse us and mold us and fashion us into whatever you want us to be. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.